Wyoming is scrambling to prepare for the August 21st total solar eclipse, which could attract so many people here that it'll double the state's population. But one thing many people may not be prepared for is what to watch for in a total solar eclipse. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards sat down with the University of Wyoming astronomer Mike Pierce to get some tips. Pierce says this eclipse is known as the Great American Solar Eclipse because the shadow of it will race at almost 2,000 miles an hour across the entire U.S., from Oregon to South Carolina.
Yeah, eclipses of the sun occur about twice a year somewhere on the Earth, but the path, the shadow that the moon casts on the Earth is very narrow. It's about on the order of 30 to 50 miles wide. Because the moon and sun appear almost exactly the same size. So that means that the shadow is very narrow, and so at any one point on Earth, an eclipse is really rare.
Yeah. Maybe you could just talk a little bit about what exactly is a total solar eclipse. What is the science there?
So in a total solar eclipse, that alignment between the sun, the moon, and then any given point on Earth has to be in a perfect straight line. The moon's orbit is tilted compared to the Earth's orbit around the sun, and that's why we don't have an eclipse, a solar eclipse, at every new moon, you know, because sometimes the shadow like passes above the Earth, sometimes below the Earth, and so it's only about twice a year where the shadow actually hits the Earth.
Can you talk about the five phases of an eclipse?
Yeah, so it's sometimes called first contact because this is when the shadow of the moon begins to cover part of the sun, or if you like, the backside of the moon. The process continues as the moon moves around the Earth, covers up more and more of the sun. These are called partial eclipses, when the moon partially covers the sun, and those aren't particularly rare. But for the total eclipse, the moon has to move precisely in front of the sun. And so when that happens, that's called second contact. And then the moon is completely blocking out the bright light from the sun. So it'll get dark, kind of like twilight. Birds will begin to roost and chirp. Temperatures will drop. Animals start acting strangely. People start acting strangely. And for the August 21st event, that will last about 2.5 minutes. And it's really quite spectacular. It's one of these ooh and ah moments that young people that see it will remember. They'll tell their grandkids about it. And then as the sun starts to peek out, as the moon moves away, that's called third contact. And then the partial phases continue again, but in reverse. This will progress until the moon moves off the sun, called fourth contact, and then the event is over.
Yeah, and there's some parts of that total eclipse that maybe you could talk a little bit about. Like, for instance, what's the diamond ring?
The diamond ring effect occurs just before and just after the total coverage, when, because of the irregular shape of the moon, it's like got mountains and valleys and things, the sun just peeks through at like one point. And so what you'll see is like a ring, the corona, and then a really bright spot that people talk about looking like a diamond ring in the sky.
So, and how can people safely look at the total solar eclipse? Because it can be kind of dangerous to look at it with a naked eye, right?
Right. First and foremost, that's one thing that we want to emphasize, is that people should be very careful looking at the sun. But there's nothing special about the sun in the sense that when there's not an eclipse, you can glance up at the sun for a second or two and it doesn't damage your eye. And it's the same during an eclipse. But what tends to happen is that people want to stare at the sun, and then it's dangerous. So there are different techniques for looking at the sun. When it's totally eclipsed, it's perfectly safe to just look at the sun. You can even look at it with a pair of binoculars, as long as you're prepared to look away, you know, as soon as the eclipse is over. One of the more popular ways is to buy a pair of solar eclipse glasses. You can buy little solar filters that you can put on binoculars or small telescopes. But if you don't have that, you can just point a small telescope or a pair of binoculars, say, at the sun with a mounted on a camera tripod, and then just project an image of the sun down onto the ground, let's say a piece of cardboard or something like that. And then you can focus the sun's image, and then you can see the progression as the moon covers up more and more of the sun, and you can view that then completely safely.
You know, what is the umbra and the penumbra? What are some of those terms that people can learn about?
Okay, the umbra is the actual shadow, the dark shadow that races across the Earth. So that would be the location within the shadow where the sun is totally covered. And the penumbra is anywhere within the shadow where the sun is partially covered. So when people in Wyoming in the central area see the sun totally eclipsed, they're within the umbra. But then outside of that, let's say from Laramie, you would see the sun become a very thin crescent, and then that crescent will start to get larger again because we're just too far south. And in that case, we're within what's called the penumbra.
So they wouldn't be able to see like the corona and some of those other, those flares and things like that.
Right, absolutely. And so I emphasize this whenever I talk to people, you must be on the path of totality. You'll read that the sun is 99% eclipsed or something like that, but that's just nothing. That's because it will get maybe slightly darker, but other than that, you won't really notice anything. To really experience the eclipse, you need to be within the umbra where the path of totality is.
And what happens if there's bad weather?
If there's bad weather, it's just a crying shame. because there are people that travel thousands of miles to see an eclipse, and sometimes it's cloudy. But one of the things that makes Wyoming special, I think, for the August event is that the weather is expected to be so good here compared to the rest of the country.
So that's the reason why, of all the places along that umbra, everybody is just saying, you know, hotels and campgrounds have been booked out for years for this. And that's why, it's because we have so much more sun?
Yeah, that's right. Of course, there are people traveling to locations all along the eclipse path. But Wyoming has been kind of singled out on some websites and some magazines as having, you know, the least chance of clouds as compared to other places. But yeah, I think Casper is expecting about 50,000 people, and they're expecting the population of Wyoming to double. So they're expecting about 500,000 people.
Thank you so much for taking some time to come in and tell us all about solar eclipses and why they are so cool.
Oh, thank you for your interest.
That was University of Wyoming astronomy professor Mike Pierce speaking with WPR's Melody Edwards. To see maps and diagrams of the Great American Solar Eclipse, you can visit us on our website at wyomingpublicmedia.org.